Ozzy Osbourne. Oh no. The highest of honors. The Prince of Darkness. Rest in peace to him. Lead singer of Black Sabbath, of course. And star of The Osbournes. Which was a very popular show. Kind of like rekindled and then introduced a whole new generation to him. I thought immediately as I got the news of Jennifer, who I'm sure will hop on this hour, we'll get her feelings on it. But Dan Day, were you a huge Ozzy Osbourne fan? Did this break your heart yesterday?
I was more celebrating his life. Look,
yeah.
He lived a full life. I didn't go down and say, man, you know, what could have been. He lived a very full life. He got the most out of it. Many people don't have that many acts in their career, that many final tours, that many final shows. So I was more like, man, what a great run right there. But yeah, I was a huge Black Sabbath and Ozzy fan. And of course, everybody watched the Osbournes on MTV and just the way he acted and how unapologetic he was when he got words wrong to songs and didn't always totally make sense. And yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing is like this guy was such a legend. And then there was a point where we're all like, is this guy a kook? Because we're all like seeing like they were this adorable reality TV family. But you couldn't understand a damn word the guy said.
No.
Sharon! You couldn't understand a damn word. The dogs were pooping all over the place. The kids were always fighting. And then, yeah, I felt like, you know, we think of like the take me out to the ball game from Wrigley Field. But so like but he had like a recent reunion with him, didn't he? Didn't like he just have a concert or something with Black Sabbath?
And yeah, they had their last show ever.
That's kind of cool.
It was supposed to be their last show ever, and it was. Yeah,
it literally was.
Yeah,
I always wondered that. Do you think he knew?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think he had to know something was up, right?
Yeah, they're holding on. And he just knew.
Man, crazy. J-Fix saying that he wasn't supposed to be a part of it. That's awesome. Pretty wild. But he, yeah, we learned yesterday his family putting out a statement that he is no longer with us. So rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne and his legendary life and career coming to an end. The headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock with the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. And when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Tears says, Tobin's going off the rails on the gravy train. That was Leroy's favorite pregame song, The Crazy Train. He always said that was the intangible song that got him most fired up when he was there. Leroy's out today, by the way. He'll be back tomorrow. But getting to our headlines, the Dolphins, they've started up training camp in Miami Gardens. A lot of notes today, unfortunately, are injury related. Darren Waller, we find out today he started on the physically unable to perform list. Mike McDaniel says that is a standard protocol for retired players, so not much to worry about. Ifeatu Melifonwu was on the non-football injury list. He also didn't seem too concerned about that. The one guy before practice that they said was some concern is Liam Eikenberg, who Mike McDaniel said is going to be out for multiple weeks. That this is a little bit of a long-termer for him, but not season-ending. So the Dolphins signed interior lineman Daniel Brunskill, who he had in San Francisco when he was there and started as a 49er. He was with the, I think, Titans the last couple of years. So we'll see. He's going to fill some depth there. But the big news today, unfortunately, afterwards, was the news that Byron Matos, second-year offensive lineman from the Miami Dolphins. He was airlifted. He had a bad injury that happened towards the end of practice, and they say he's in stable condition, but we don't have any details. So we got prayers out for him and hope everything's going to be okay. Artie Burns also got injured at practice today. Dolphins cornerback, former Miami Hurricane. He's in that cornerback battle, but he got hurt during drills today early in practice. So those are all your injury updates. As far as playing status for guys, Zach Sealer did show up today. He did report to camp, and he did participate in individual and team drills. So the Miami Dolphins star defensive lineman who is seeking a contract, still not doing anything as far as holding out, holding in. He was a participant today. So that's all good news as far as he's concerned. I did see, though, some notes from reporters, And I believe David Ferones put it on the Sun Sentinel that said that the standout for day one, Dan Day, Eric Ezukama.
Yes, it's that time of the year.
Eric Ezukama is the standout. Look, I already know I've been made fun of on Twitter because I stood by Julian Hill. And I may get fun of again because something about Eric Ezukama. I can't quit him. I can't quit Eric Ezukama. I can't do it. But it was said by David Ferones, said, standout performance. Eric Ezukama was the was a standout of day one, catching a deep touchdown from Zach Wilson and a downfield pass from Quinn Ewers. So he's not working with the starters, obviously, which you should.
Yeah. Bulls gold right there.
But that being said, so like if we're talking about the Dolphins starting cornerbacks, Lord knows what their backup cornerbacks are like. I don't know.
Eric Ezukama got Skylar Thompson a contract.
He did. He did do that. I'm telling you. This is his time to shine, and this is probably his last stand, but I love Eric Ezukama, and I am still one of those guys like, oh, he did something? And I know none of it is going to matter because he is going to go, I'm going to bet every, can you do props in preseason? I don't know if I could do player props, but if there were player props in preseason on the Hard Rock app, you can bet your bottom dollar, which is where I'm going to be down to, is I would bet on Eric Ezukama overs.
I'll tell you.
Because this guy is incredible in preseason day.
As you watch him in preseason, you're like, how does that not transfer some way, shape, or form to the regular season? They have to find a way. One play, just something. And every year it gets me. I'm like, no.
Waned experience says, it's the same every year. I'm tired of them. Look, I understand. I can't fault any fan who does not believe in him and isn't sick of it. Because we have been told this guy's going to be incredible. But, like, he does it with incredible plays. And they're super athletic. And they're going up and making tough catches. And then he had, well, the first year, Third year. I got to look this up. Because I know there was a year where he had,
It's his fourth year.
It's his fourth year?
Oh, yeah. Because it was a Skylar Thompson year. Then he had a second year, then last year, and then this is number four.
Wow. Well, you're right. And he's had five career games.
I mean, he didn't even see the special teams.
Well, he had the one year where he got like a neck thing. Like he was supposed to play, and then like he had a neck injury, and we just never heard from him again. And then, I think the last 2 years he just hasn't been a thing. Maybe I should sell my stock. Either way, Jesus, 4 years already for Eric Ezukama? Where does the time go? I had a really awkward interaction with him at the Tyreek Hill gala because Leroy was hobnobbing with Wes Welker, because that's Leroy. He's like, oh, I'm just going to go hang out with Wes Welker. And so while he's hobnobbing with Wes Welker and other people were talking to Tyreek Hill, I was just left awkwardly with Eric Ezukama at the table. And I was like sitting there and I said, hey, Eric, love what you did in preseason, man. Which I don't think is what anybody wants to ever hear. Like, love what you did on preseason. Can't wait to see what you do. But I had nothing else for him. I didn't have anything of substance to give Eric Ezukama other than loved you in preseason. Can't wait to see you in action. And unfortunately, it did not go great. So, I don't know. Marlins are about to get going. 12:10 is our first pitch. Is it on FanDuel today, Dan? Is it on MLB Network today? Maybe it's on MLB Network.
I couldn't tell you right now. We're still working through the kinks of our TV system. Let's see.
Sometimes our TV system's a little bit like a spider web. You got to find it all through. But we got action on this game, so we need to figure this out so we can get going.
Yeah.
But the Marlins are taking on the Padres, about to get going from Lone Depot Park before they head out to take on the Milwaukee Brewers, which they're off tomorrow. Strangely, why are they playing at 4 o'clock on Friday? Got to be some weird Milwaukee thing. Maybe there's like a bratwurst parade in Wisconsin.
4 o'clock on Friday.
Is Friday a holiday that I'm unaware of?
It's 4 o'clock Central Time or 4 o'clock our time?
I think it's our time because I just saw it on the Marlins website.
So then it'd be 3 o'clock their time.
What the hell's going on in Milwaukee?
I don't know.
Very strange.
I'll get into that.
Either way, that gets going with the Marlins. They're about to get going from Lone Depot Park, and we'll see if the fish can finish this puppy out. Let's see. Yeah, it says it's on FanDuel today, so I don't know what's going on. I got Kay Adams on here, sitting here and talking George Kittle.
Those filters she uses nowadays are just beyond belief.
Is that an Instagram filter?
It's a filter.
Interesting. I would figure she's got a pretty popular show. I just think she has like the best glam people.
She's got...
I don't know, Dan. You watch some of these reality TVs, dude. Like, they have the most incredible glam people.
It's awesome.
That was a beef with the Love Island out of the villa where Kaylor was mad at Liv because Liv got glam. She didn't get glam. And she felt some type of way about
that. Well, yeah, you got to get your glam because if you don't get your glam, then you're not getting your cam.
Exactly. You're not feeling the same way. So there's that. All right, we'll get locked in on the Marlins and see where they're at today. They won yesterday 4-3, and they beat the Padres. So we'll check that on out. But Dolphins have started training camp. Today was the first day. They started under the roof, and then they went outside and got some action in there. But let's get to Tua Tagovailoa here. The Dolphins quarterback spoke to the media today. And the big topic, I would say, that he spoke a little bit on Minkah Fitzpatrick today. And Minkah Fitzpatrick is excited to have him here. The former Bama teammates, they're back together. They, of course, both hated Brian Flores' guts. So they have that to bond over. Because Tua was saying that they had lunch this past Sunday, Dan. How many times do you think that they brought up Brian Flores at that lunch?
Probably 4 times at the beginning, and then they moved on.
He's like, hey, you know, he did that to you. He did that to me. He was a real jerk. And they never got to cross paths because Minkah Fitzpatrick left during the tanking season, which was originally tank for Tua. Then it was tank for Burrow. But then the Dolphins kind of got good because Ryan Fitzpatrick's dumbass started winning too many games. So then they ended up with Tua anyway. But Minkah Fitzpatrick was like, I'm out of here. And he left as it was. So the Dolphins ended up getting a pick for him. Because he was good and he had a really good Steelers career. But now the Miami Dolphins have him back. He is back in his 29 jersey. And one thing that Tua had to address today was his star wide receiver, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, at the end of last season, made a stink. He walked off the field and then was basically like, I'm out. Don't want to be here anymore. And all of a sudden, we're like, huh. Is that the end of the Tyreek Hill era? Now, mind you, Tua was not playing in that game. Tua was injured. And so the Dolphins dealt with all of that and that loss to the Jets and Jalen Waddle being like, Tua, or like, Tyreek, where are you going? Where is he going? And Tyreek was just done. He was done with everything. So here was what Tua had to say on Tyreek Hill. First on his offseason, that he has noticed a Tyreek Hill who has been in a different mindset this offseason. Here's what Tua had to say on Tyreek.
I think there's a lot more vulnerability with Tyreek. You know, he's conversating a lot more with the guys, not just about football, but about things off the field. Being vulnerable with some of the things that, you know, people know about his personal life and things of that nature. And I think that's the first step to him building true relationships and a real connection with a lot of the guys in there. Everyone knows what he can do on the field. Everyone respects what he can do on the field. But I think, you know, he's still trying to figure things out for himself as well. Kind of the man he wants to be. And, you know, he's not too young. Like, everybody makes mistakes. It's just some people, you know, they're in the spotlight, you know, and their deals get pushed out more than some others. So, you know, just got to cut him some grace. I mean, that's our teammate. You know, we love him. But as a person, if you get to know him, I think you'd love him too.
Look, all great words by Tua. I think he's cutting him a lot of slack there, especially for, you know, Tyreek being the age that he is. I mean, like, at what point are you who you are with your maturity? And I am still coming at this with a with an arm's length, because I think that it's easier in an off season when no football has happened to talk about he's a different guy, everything is cool, we're going to be good. Great. That's awesome. If Cheetah's getting his numbers and Cheetah is putting up big numbers and Cheetah's having awesome games and the Dolphins are winning, I don't anticipate it being a problem. But everybody here, you know, you got Alec Ingold talking about Foxhole. You got, you know, Bradley Chubb talking about we're not listening to the noise. You know, you talk, we do, all that. That's cool. However, when we did see Tyreek Hill in a situation of adversity at the end of last year, which was a very frustrating year for him, I understand that he went through a ton, that, you know, what happened and what happened to him at the start of the season was absolutely crappy. He didn't deserve to have what happened to him before the game with the speeding thing. That was, you know, such an overreaction. And then he was playing through injury. Okay, now that we've gotten through all those caveats, what he did at the end of last season was awful and is not something that I think can be easily just glossed over. And that's what Tua put forth in his next statement, where he was asked about, well, what about what he said at the end of last year? Where is he at with that with you guys? And that he did say that he still got work to do. Here was more of Tua.
I would say we're still continuing to do that. But it's not just with me. It's with a lot of the guys. I'm not the only one that heard that. You guys aren't the only people that heard that. You know, a lot of people that follow football, that follow the Miami Dolphins, that follow Tyreek, that are fans of his, you know, everyone has seen that. So when you say something like that, it's you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad. You know, you got to work that relationship up. You got to build everything up again, and yeah, that it's still a work in progress, not just for me but for everybody. But you know, like I said, he's working on himself. He's working on the things that he says he wants to get better with and do better on. So that's the first step to me, and so I commend him for doing that.
Yeah, there you go. And I think, like, look, it is a little bit of the Dolphins with Tyreek Hill have to be in show me mode. They have to be, you know, and I think even with the idea that, you know, for years he was a captain on this team, first step with all this, you know, I can't imagine that he's going to be voted captain after what happened last year. Because, like, I always felt like the Tyreek Hill being a captain thing kind of felt like a bit of a charade. Like, it felt like one of these things where, like, Mike McDaniel was trying to give him, like, the torch. Because, like, look, Tyreek Hill, when he first got here, Dan, I think he did a lot of good as far as, like, backing Tua publicly, being the voice nationally for the Dolphins, taking on the haters, taking off some smoke from Tua Tagovailoa of criticism, maybe adding some more smoke. But I think a lot of that was beneficial, to have a guy of his stature, a champion, come in here, newest, highest-paid wide receiver, and he's got Tua's back. I think there was something that was really beautiful about that. But I don't think anybody was really looking to him and being like, we rally behind you, Tyreek Hill. This is the guy that when we're looking for it, no, I don't necessarily think that that was the case ever with it. And so is that guy going to be a captain again? I doubt it.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those high school things. Make one of the best players on the team the captain because they're one of your best players, not so much a leader of the team, but he did bring that stature and that clout to where he says something, people would be like, oh, well, you know, he has played with Patrick Mahomes and he has been under Andy Reid and he has won a Super Bowl. So if he says it, you know, we are going to actually listen, as opposed to someone that maybe with less clout where they just kind of brush gloss over and say, eh, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't know if I ever saw Tyreek Hill in the locker room when I was in there post game ever really leading the team or really like kind of leading the charge.
Yeah, and the other thing is, one of the things that we learned with Tyreek Hill as the years had gone by here is he's a whopper teller. Like, he is, you know, I wouldn't call Tyreek Hill an outright liar. I've said, like, I don't think you're a liar, but I think he's a whopper teller. I think he embellishes. I think that he likes to troll. I think he likes to have fun with the media. But I do think that we caught him in a very honest moment there at the end when he's being asked by reporters at the end of the season. I think you just felt all that frustration vent out. And, like, yeah, everybody's owed a bad day. That's cool. And everybody's owed second chances, even though, like, through his football career, he's gotten those. But, you know, I think with the team, there are certain lines and thresholds you can't come back from and that do take a lot of mending. I think Tua, to his credit, we talk about leadership and where the team's going to be, and is he that leader? I thought that was with flying colors right there. I think from what you want to hear from your quarterback on a sensitive situation, I think gave a receiver that is older than him. Like, I think he handled that with a lot of tact and maturity, and I think that Tua did handle that with a lot of leadership. They're like, yeah, no, there's still work to do. Like, he's not all the way back, but they are trying. It's not a sense like they're not just throwing him onto the curb with this thing.
See, I like that too, though, that he's kind of forthcoming and honest about it, because maybe in the past the Dolphins would have been like, it's been handled, it's good, it's right. Fine, we're all happy, everybody's happy. Now they realize that they've been caught lying so many times, yeah. And they have to kind of rebuild our trust, by being like, yeah, no, we're not just going to say everything's okay. It's a process, and we're going to work at it. So maybe that's a road back towards us maybe believing in them a little bit more, because they openly admitted last year they were lying about how the culture was changed at this time of the year and how everything was different in the locker room.
And I think that's where everybody's at with this, is like this Dolphins team has just run out of so much grace with everybody. They've blown all their chances. This regime and these players, for the most part, maybe there's a few guys that are rock solid and everybody still believes in. But everybody who was arguing for the Dolphins and arguing against the haters, and everybody who was saying, you know, this team can't win in the cold, this team can't beat a good team, and everybody, you're trying to like block out of the noise and you just want to believe in your team, and they never rewarded the faith. They haven't rewarded the faith with the fans at all. And so now the Dolphins fan is at a point where they're kind of treating the Dolphins like the Dolphins are treating Tyreek Hill. It's like, yeah, I'm excited about the season. I can't wait for football to be back because I love my football. But you guys have a lot of work to do. You guys are sitting here. It's not just Cheetah who's got a lot of rebuilding of trust that has to do. And even though Mike McDaniel's telling the fans they got to evolve, no, my friend, you have to evolve. You guys as a team have to evolve, because everybody here sat here in good faith, believing in their team, just wanting the Miami Dolphins to give them some feel good, to give them some semblance of real winning. And you're giving moments and you're giving weeks and you're giving celebrations and you're giving fun. But we're still 25 years into this thing with the same conclusion happening every single year. So I think we should all take a note from how Tua is saying that, but we should flip it back on them and being like, I can't wait for the season. I want to believe in you, Tua. I want to believe that this offensive line is fixed. I want to believe Tyreek Hill is going to be good. But you guys got work to do. You guys have a lot of work to do if I'm just going to wrap my arms around you and say, I love you. It's not there yet. The trust still needs to be brought all the way up. And I got to be honest with you guys, okay? I don't know if they can get there without getting a playoff win. I don't know. And I was a guy a couple of years ago, I thought that was loser talk. I'm like, playoff win? With all the talent that's on this team, they should have been in the damn conference championship. And it looked like they were heading there before melting down against the Tennessee Titans. So now, I don't even feel like I'm giving you that hard of an obstacle to jump. A playoff win. You're the only team in this span in football that hasn't won in 25 years, a playoff game. That's it. One playoff win. That's it. If you're able to do that, okay, then all of a sudden people will trust again.
Well, that's Mike McDaniel. Fan base needs to evolve. We have evolved. There was a time when it was Super Bowl, it was AFC Championship or bust. Now it's just, we've evolved to just give us a playoff game.
Please.
That's what you've devolved us to.
I like to call that lowering the standards.
Devolved.
Yeah, I like to call that lowering the standards, but that's where he's back.
So we have evolved. We have changed. Maybe not for the better, but we have changed. Just give us a playoff win, and we'll take it from there.
Evan 11 says, you'll be right back after they beat the Bills in week 3. Oh, man, on 3 days rest? Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
That in would Buffalo? Be great. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Come on. That's like talking about like if an elf would walk in here now and grant me wishes, Evan, like beating the Bills.
Josh Allen defending MVP?
Yeah, like that's not going to be, what are we talking about? Tier says, we've evolved all right into hockey fans.
They make it easy, though.
They do.
They make it so easy.
Rats off a ship. Game six.
Rats off a ship.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Marlins going on right now. They have just finished the top of the second inning. Still 1-0. So good start for Sandman here. A couple scoreless. And has 2 strikeouts already, Dan.
Ooh.
Good pace. 1 per inning.
Know he's going to get at least 4. Most likely 5. Sometimes 6.
Al Macko says, why is this game on so early? I don't know, dude. What do I look like? The traveling secretary?
I think it's getaway day for San Diego. San Diego needs to get back to the left coast.
Who do they got coming up? They got San Diego. Yeah. San Diego has... No, they're going to St. Louis, actually.
Yeah, trying to get to St. Louis.
It's not nothing, though. It's not like they got a 4-game series starting, so...
They want to get to the hill for some Italian food, maybe some St. Louis-style ribs, some...
You find
spaghetti mac in St. Louis.
You find it strange that we're just building arches like St. Louis downtown?
Oh, man. Don't get me started on that bad boy.
I don't know what that is.
I can tell you, actually. I've done some research on this. Number one, it's a money laundering scheme, which pretty obvious because it's been there for 100 years.
Yep.
It's supposed to be a bridge that bridges downtown to Overtown, and cars will be going over it. Not a walking bridge, a driving bridge.
So we're driving over Overtown?
OTD or whatever. Yeah. It's supposed to be for cars.
I'm sure Overtown loves that.
To go over Biscayne Boulevard so that you could drive. No. You're driving into Overtown. It's
supposed
to connect Overtown to downtown.
Did we really need that? I've never felt trouble getting from downtown to Overtown.
People have to line their pockets in Miami-Dade some way, shape, or form.
Has anybody ever felt when I'm driving from a Heat game, right? And I'm like, you know what I can't get to right now easily? Overtown. It's like once I get past that first block, yeah. I'm fine. Like, are we building an entire bridge?
Yep,
to get over one street? Because
yes.
I feel like once we get past that street that's next to Biscayne,
yeah.
I'm good. Who has trouble getting past the second block?
I thought it was for like the Frost Museum building something, but nope. It's supposed to be a bridge from downtown to Overtown.
Great. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, I feel like they should have, instead of, you know, focus on the arch, focus on the train system here.
Yeah.
Maybe make it way better for us to maneuver around the city.
Why do we need arches?
I don't need an arch. We have enough.
Man. That's what we should have. We should have Spo be in charge of all the meetings, being like, we have enough. We have enough.
That's it.
We don't need we don't need it. What do we have today, Jennifer, for Rats Off a Ship?
We have Rhett Lashley says the ACC is deeper than the SEC.
Rhett Lashley, of course, former Miami Hurricanes offensive coordinator, now the head coach of SMU. He rattled some cages yesterday at ACC Media Day saying that the ACC is deeper. Here's Rhett Lashley.
Week in, week out, that's the league you want to be in. That's where you want to be. I mean, you look at our league, we had like 4 10-win teams, 2 playoff teams, a handful of 9-win teams, 13 bowl teams. I mean, there's just not a lot of easy wins on the schedule. And there's other leagues that claim depth, but like, and the SEC's had the same 6 schools win the championship since 1964. Same 6. Not a single one has been different since 1964. It's top heavy to me.
Wow. Rhett Lashley with a flamethrower. Man. I got to tell you, I'm not rats off a ship. I like it. I don't know if they are deeper, but I just like the take because I'm sick. I'm sick of the SEC coming out here and they always get a pass beating up on each other. You know, it does feel like a bit of a football Ponzi scheme with them being able to always get 3 losses and do what they want. Now, I mean, of course, we're going to be in the playoffs, so who knows what the rules are going to be. But, like, you see the Canes loss last year to Georgia Tech. It was held over them. Now, I don't want to cry over it too much because, you know, they blew the Syracuse game. But Georgia Tech took Georgia to, what, 900 overtimes? It's silly. So I'm not rats off a ship. I like Rhett Lashley's take there. What about you, Dan Day?
Rats off a ship.
Rhett. Rhett. talking about they've only had six teams win the championship, a.k.a. national championship, over the past year. Okay, SMU, beat Arkansas. Beat Ole Miss. Beat some of these middling teams that you talk about. Hang with these middling teams. Then we'll talk. Rhett, seriously, toe top heavy. Vanderbilt, go out there and play Vanderbilt in Nashville, and let's see how well you do. I don't know, you had a good season last year, but come on. That's clickbait. It's got to be clickbait to me. I don't know. And, you know, I'm an LSU guy. I understand that, but come on.
It's going to be interesting. Do they have any SEC teams they're taking on this year?
I hope so. Probably not, because he wouldn't be saying that.
I don't think they do.
They get beat by Arkansas. And Arkansas is middle, low middle to the pack for SEC schools.
Is Baylor in the SEC anymore?
No.
Or anywhere? Where are they? Big 12?
Baylor's a Big 12 team.
Still? Okay. Well, I got to make sure. Every year. I remember when I walked out yesterday, last year at Big 10 Media Day, and I was like, what's USC doing here? I'm very confused. Jennifer, where are you with Rhett Lashley?
I'm swimming. I'm rats off a ship.
Wow.
Rats off a ship.
Sorry, Rhett. I'm the only one backing you here, buddy. As an ACC guy through and through. Ugh. I got to be honest with you. I have hated the Canes in the ACC forever. It's because this TV deal stinks. They've just added more teams. They still can't win it. It's very frustrating. I've hated the SEC since the Canes have walked, the ACC since the Canes have walked into it. Except in the basketball. Basketball's had more fun because Jim Larrañaga was like upsetting Duke all the time. It's the only positive thing that's come out of it. But I guess I got to defend it with its honor while it's here. You know, that's what I have to do. So I'm going to do it. What's number two, Jennifer?
Apparently Tua is reading books to help with motivation.
Wow. Okay. Let's hear what the Dolphins quarterback had to say.
Good amount of podcasts. Listen to like a good amount of audio books as well. I'm reading a book right now. So that's kind of like my process with like before I go to bed. Kind of helps like with the dreaming aspect of it. You know, you kind of go to bed, you kind of think about it, think a little more about it. Sometimes you get aha moments, you know, as you're sleeping, you wake up and something hits you in that sense. But I would say that's what I do in terms of motivation. And then, you know, you can take little snippets of what certain people say or little quotes in the book, you know, copy paste it, print it, put it on your locker, things of that nature to always remind you and get you back in the right frame of mind.
You know what you're reading?
I don't know what I'm reading. Funny. I don't know what I'm reading right now, but yeah.
Tua.
How do we feel?
I'm rats off a ship. I'm sorry.
Rats off a ship.
You got to come up with the name of the book. You got to come up with the name of the book.
At least give us a name.
Great. Tua, what's the name of that book? You know, we call that? We call that the LeBron. That's the old LeBron James reading page one in the locker room and everybody being like, oh, look, LeBron's reading Go Dog Go. Like, and he's on page one. If Tua's he just waxed poetic for a minute straight, being like, you know, it's great. It helps with the dreaming. I come up with ideas, beautiful dreams. And he's like, great, Tua. What's the book? I don't know.
I'm glad he's doing a whole little vision board for his locker.
I'm glad too. Hey, whatever works, but
whatever works for him, but.
See, that's, you know what just happened there is like he thought that he faked out the safety, and the safety was like, nope, read your eyes the whole time. Give me an answer, Tua. Damn it. Wow.
I mean, at least name a podcast if you're listening.
Give a podcast.
It.
Yeah, something.
Or an audiobook. Something, Tua. Something.
You gotta have a book. If you're going to go on this whole thing, because, hey, what are you doing? He's asked, what's helping with motivation? Oh, podcasts, listening to books. I'm actually reading a book right now. You have to know. I would love to know. He goes, uh-oh. All right. Well, I guess we'll find out maybe next time. You come back with that question again, whatever report that was. I want to know. I want follow-ups. Hunter says, you got to know what you're reading. Dan Day, what do you think about Tua's motivation with reading?
I am not rats off a ship. I recently, this past weekend, went to Books and Books and Barnes and Noble in Coral Gables and spent over $100 on books. I'm reading a motivational book now, and I will tell you this. A lot of people see you read motivational books, and they give you other motivational books, so maybe sometimes it's a shuffling because you only read and kind of, like he says, you take little snippets from it here and there. With that being said, when you're asked, what book are you reading, if you can't remember, say, well, I've been reading a lot of different books, and name one or two of them. So when you have no name whatsoever,
right.
That looks a little suspicious.
It's a little suspicious. Like, you can't even give me, like, you know, give me a Malcolm Gladwell, just be like, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
You get what you'd be like, I think it's called,
like,
Winner Within by Pat Riley.
Yeah. Or like if I said, Toby, what do you like to read? Oh, I read fiction. What are you reading right now? I go, I mean, you got to lean on the classics like Huckleberry Finn, 1984, just whatever I can get my hands on. That
something.
Way at least it sounds kind of like, okay, but then just going deer in the headlights.
Can you name at least one book that you bought this weekend, like you were saying?
No, that's another good thing. No, I can tell you what book I'm reading, but I got Good Dieting for a Latino Soul.
You need to diet?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I just bought the book. I'm reading Untethered Soul right now.
Dan South says he's reading Sliding for Dummies. Schmeathen says he's reading I'm Your Daddy, a book written by Josh Allen.
Wow.
Wolf says Lying for Dummies. Jennifer, what do you think of Tua?
No, I'm rats off a ship.
Yeah, I think he's
give me something.
You gotta give me a book. You gotta give me something.
Rats off a ship.
I do like the whole taking snippets out of things. And, you know, if you can get inspiration from anywhere, that's a good thing. But, you know, tell us, because maybe we want inspiration too.
If you can't stay ahead of the reporters, you can't stay ahead of the defense. Like, if you didn't see that follow-up coming a mile away...
Coming.
If you didn't see that follow-up coming a mile away, you'd be like, because I'm sitting here and I'm reading, oh, no, they're going to ask what book, and I don't have a book. I need a book. You know what you should have just said? Or this should have been the
quip. Web.
This is what the quip should have been, J-Fig. When they say, oh, well, what are you reading? And Tua should have just been the playbook. I was like, oh, wow. That would have been That would have been a mic drop moment for Tua, but instead
he would have had to walk out of this.
He looks like he's a fibber. Just saying. What's number three, Jennifer?
Well, we have Kasperis Akuchonis. Did I say that correctly?
Kind of.
Okay.
You got the last name pretty good. It's Kasperis.
Kasperis Akuchonis was given a D+ by Bleacher Report for his summer league.
I'm rats off a ship. I know that he had a bad first three games, but then he balled out when he got to Las Vegas, and he played really, really well. I think that at least warrants a C. Because in my mind, if you have a failing grade for three straight games, but then you get an A, well, in my school world, that's deserving of at least a C. D+ seemed too strong for me. I was rats off a ship on that grade. Dan?
I'm going to go rats off a ship.
Rats off a ship.
Because they tell us Kasperis Akuchonis is a very up-and-down player. He's a feast and famine type of guy. He's an elite passer, but he's also a turnover machine. And that's exactly what he was in the summer league. He was exactly what they said. Some games, he wasn't there. Other games, he was fantastic. That means right in the middle with a C. That would be me.
What about you?
I don't know if that's a good thing, but yeah.
You always choose C. People don't learn.
I don't know, but I was like looking through those grades too, and I was like, why is he getting graded so harshly? Like, that was the one thing.
Seriously.
Remember when like all the grades came out by Yahoo, and Yahoo was like, yeah, the Heat drafting Akuchonis. That's a D.
Tobin, through two games, he had more turnovers than points. Through three games, he had as many turnovers as points.
Counterpoint. It's the California Classic. Nobody watches that summer league. All right. If you're watching any summer league at all. But then he came out, and that first game in Las Vegas, that rivaled Cooper Flagg. That was a great game.
24 points?
Very impressive from Akuchonis. Anyway, just thought it was too strong. Give us one more, Jennifer.
That is strong. So I apologize now, just in case I mess up a specific name here, but it's the fight game, so I'm not going to say the correct name. Tom Aspinall will fight Cyril?
Mm.
Gain?
Gone. But yes, you did very well. You did very well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. For the heavyweight title, according to Dana White.
I'm rats off a ship. I wanted Derek Lewis to get it. I think Derek Lewis deserved it after knocking out that no name because he is, you know, exciting and he gave a great speech and he's a great husband. And Ciryl Gane's gotten like 900 chances at the title. And I know that there's nobody else and he probably has the best resume, but I'm sick of seeing him fight. So enough of Ciryl Gane. Rats off a ship. Dan Day?
Rats off a ship.
I want to see haymakers, man. And that guy just throws haymakers.
Yeah.
That we're talking about. So, you know, it's like Yakuchonis, feast or famine. You're either going to get knocked out or you're going to knock somebody out. So I'd like to see that just for the straight excitement factor.
By the way, Dan, already at 4 strikeouts, dude.
Oh, so now we need a home run by Augustin Ramirez and a base hit by Kyle Stowers.
Yep.
And lo and behold, this inning, you might get both this inning. That would be nice to relax the rest of the game.
It would be nice to relax the rest of the game. Oh, man. Well,
except just got kind of run down.
Okay. And fingers crossed for you guys.
Man. All right, great start for Sandy. Sandy's looking great right now.
Fantastic.
I need this to keep going. What about you, Jennifer? UFC heavyweight championship. No John Jones anymore. Tom Aspinall, Ciryl Gane.
I'm not going to see him. Rats off.
I don't give a
rats off a ship.
I'm so sorry.
We have a new option called Don't Give a Rat's Ass.